Shalom, welcome to Tanya Wide Open at G4. I'm not sure what perek we're actually up to. Do you remember? If we're up to 8 or 9, we did Chochmas Umos Olam. We talked about Chochmas Chetzonius.
I think we're up to chapter 8.
So anyway, just Yaakov, I want to just respond to what you said. The idea of like when you take on something to break your ego, yeah, the way that we've understood now the idea of ego, it's so much more nuanced, it's so much more subtle, that the way that I understand it is you can't actually do that. Wait, like what you just said. So where is it? How do you work on your ego? And I think this is a very profound idea, is that according to everything that I've learned, I say this a lot, but according to everything that I've learned, I think the only, literally, the only indication of where you're holding in your relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam is your Ahavas Yisrael. Literally. When you look at another person and there's a whatever negativity, however that manifests, we've all got our different, you know, we've all got our different upbringing, we've got all got our different natures and nurtures, yeah? So negativity would manifest in all different ways. But that was the inyan of Sinas Chinam by Chorban Bayis Sheni. Because when you really, what is Sinas Chinam? How do you hate someone for free? And then if you've got a reason to hate them, then it's not Sinas Chinam. So what is it? How do you, what, you just look at someone? He's got like a funny face. Yeah, he's got, so you hate him for his face. Already that's not Sinas Chinam. What's the inyan? Because in the Gemara there it says, if I remember correctly, it speaks about the Chorban Bayis Rishon, Chorban Bayis Sheni, that by Chorban Bayis Rishon there was the Gimel Chumuros, they were over and Avodah Zarah Gilui Shefichas Damim, yeah, but they were Ma'amin in Hashem, so it says, and then it speaks about Chorban Bayis Sheni, and they had Torah, mitzvahs, gemilas chasadim. It doesn't say tefillah. It says Torah, mitzvahs, gemilas chasadim. But because of Sinas Chinam, there was Chorban Bayis Sheni. And then there's a machlokes.
Huh? Olo baruchu b'tefillah, but yeah.
Olo what?
They didn't bench on Birkas of Torah.
Oh, okay. This Gemara, I don't think it actually meant. Does it mention that in that Gemara though?
I don't know if it's that Gemara.
I'm not sure if it's that Gemara in Yuma. But anyway, I'm not sure. Anyway, but the Ica thing it says there is that, anyway, it's all tied in. It's the same idea anyway, that they had Torah, mitzvahs, gemilas chasadim, but with Sinas Chinam. And then there's a big machlokes that with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and Yehuda, if what's worse. And it comes out that it was a vaday worse the second Chorban, because it lasted for so much longer. The first Chorban was only like 80 years, yeah? So what is Sinas Chinam? And you end up, when you cut this, you get such a deep insight into our avoider and what it really is. Have we got a whiteboard?
Yeah.
Okay. Over here in the corner.
What's up, partner?
Aight? Yeah.
Aight?
Aight? Aight?
That means you're aight. You are right. You're aight.
Aight. Oh, code word.
No. It's not from the hood.
It's a short
hood. And then the Jamaican would respond, everything is airy.
Airy?
Airy.
What's that mean?
Airy means all right.
Airy.
The Torah missed some of the sin.
The whole Torah missed some of the sin. It's a good time to work on it because of the...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I didn't plan on talking about it at all.
Because there's a lot of...
Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva, Sinistinum. So it's a very, it's if you've been learning with us for the past few months, it should be quite straightforward. But it's definitely a chiddush from the Welt's understanding of
Wittgenstein.
Do we have a...
Probably one.
I love this place so much. It's a good place. Okay, Shkwech. So, okay, let's do it this. This is the Nefesh HaBahamas. Okay? You can call that your... call that your
drive, physical drive,
your survival instinct, which is really the survival instinct. When we talk about rotson, yeah, the idea of a rotson without a siba, yeah.
How could that be? If I have a will, there's a reason why.
Abundance, too much.
Will without
something
a
you have already, but you don't.
Just a will without a siba, there's one will that you have without any siba whatsoever. This is the most
important.
The will to live. Your desire to live is not predicated only on any reason. Reasons flow from your desire to live. So a cat, it can be, there's a couple of ways that can be, that I know of, that can be damaged, that the less likely is when a person is in chronic pain, and we'll explain why that, you'll understand in a minute why that is. When a person is in chronic pain, they can lose their will to live, yeah, which makes a lot of sense when you understand what the will to live actually is. And then the much more common occurrence, which is what accounts for most suicide, is a riboy machshava, where the machshava becomes so intense, such negative, intense machshava, like just like the sun is always shining, but you have clouds cover the sky, yeah, so you end up not knowing there's a sun there. That's the same inyan of most suicides. So there's a story that I always tell, you can look up yourself. Shalom, welcome. You can look up yourself on YouTube. There's a guy, I've said this to you before, a guy who tried to kill himself by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, and he wasn't matzliach. And it's like a 1% chance of jumping from that height that you'll live. So him and a few other guys are alive after taking the decision, taking the jump, so to speak, pun to pun. And he said the same thing that all of them, I think he said it on like a WhatsApp group or something, that all of them agreed that as their hands left the railing, literally, as their hands left the railing, they regretted their decision. All of them said the same thing. Why? Because...
Rare clarity.
What?
Rare moment clarity.
Meaning that the clouds cleared, they were... The abject terror, the Tanya speaks about this in chapter 18, 19, that the abject terror of what was ahead of them discontinued the machshavas. The thoughts for the first time in years completely went away, and they were aware of the sun, the will to live, which never went away. They weren't in chronic pain, they were in chronic thinking. What?
Permanently
in chronic, in bad thinking.
You know what I'm saying? The clouds were cleared and then stayed like that. They didn't want to...
Well, just for, as second, they jumped down... Second. As life has rots on to continue to live. So the guy is talking about, he jumps out, so his thinking gets completely discontinued, and now that he touches his rots on, because his rots on was so covered over with negative thinking, he's like, man, I don't want to die.
But he's in midair already. He's gone. He's on his way down.
What?
He's on his way down.
Yeah, he had 3 seconds.
A moment of enlightenment. And then...
A lot can happen in 3 seconds. And a lot happened in 3 seconds. And he made it alive. Most people have that 3 seconds and then it's off to
where's this guy now? Where these people now?
You can look him up on YouTube.
No,
this
is saying, yeah, they went through this.
Yeah, no, he's a YouTuber like, on his own level and he's
deep under.
Maybe if you have Harak, then you have real regret. Then you survive.
The aimless guy
would have. No, the other way.
What do you mean? You're saying like, I'll be a
shkatter. All people survive had regret, you said.
Oh, the other ones who didn't.
Maybe so, like, they didn't have regrets.
So this is an interesting thing in our generation. That's a really interesting point you brought up. This is my own theory. What? Take it or leave it. I'd like to hear what you think about this. That, see, the Loshen in the Tanya, he says, is Ala Roiv. When he talks about the idea of a Kal Shabakal, a Pasha Yid, a secular Yid, giving up his life for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, yeah, when a goy comes and puts a gun to his head and says, your God, not your religion, your God, God Echad on your life, Shem Echad on your life, he will give his life, Ala Roiv.
What does that mean?
Yeah, Ala Roiv means the majority of situations. Yeah, so it says, Afilu Kal Shebekalem Upoishem Yisrael Moisrim Nafsham Al Kedushas Hashem Ala Roiv. The Sayyidim in Nuyim Kasha, and they go through terrible tortures. Shloi Lichpo by Shem Echad, so they won't be Koyf on Hashem Echad. But Ala Roiv, which is, it's difficult philosophically when you take it in context of the Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it in every case? If he's describing the Metzias of the Jewish soul, where the Nefesh of the Kis just goes nuts.
Especially when he says later in it, that your whole... You can tell yourself that even a Kal Shebekalem is going to...
Yeah.
Well, then maybe that's Ala Roiv.
Some of them don't. So so what accounts for the Yidden who are the Miyut, who can't give up their life for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam when someone puts a gun to his head? And it's the same thing that accounts for suicide in human beings. Ala Roiv, people want to live. But there's a meat of people who will give up their lives, who will be Mabed Esasmoy Badas. Yeah, that's a Matthias. So you can't say that everyone wants to live. It's Ala Roiv, everyone wants to live. So there's a meat of Choyle Nefesh, Okay, we're not talking about the pain thing, yeah? There's a meat of...
They want to live.
What?
The Etzim, they want to live. They're just covered over.
Well, they want to live, but they wouldn't.
They're not going to give up their life.
It's not on the person, it's on the life. Life wants to live. Anything that happens, like an ant, you try killing an ant, it tries to run away.
Yeah.
Life wants to live. It's not about a decision.
No, but
if you get covered over,
yeah, okay.
But that's some life.
But it means the mensch himself doesn't want to live.
Right.
Yeah, that's for sure. The mensch doesn't want to live. So if the Inyan is machshavas, yeah, which that's for sure the Inyan, now. In our generation, we've seen the world of machshavas go haywire. No one thinks like we think. There's never been a time where minds have been even a fraction as active as our minds. The stimulation we have with the media, with the food, with everything, it's insane how different our minds are in regards to thinking. That's why depression is so rampant in the more developed countries, because the thinking has gotten so out of control. I speak to people all the time, and it's like the amount of people who are afflicted with riboy machshava is basically like everyone. I've that was the reason why I put out the Reclaiming Sanity book, because that was what helped me, and that was a lot of avoid. That was a few years of big avoider to the point where I was able to actually get my mind to just stop being a crazy megaphone that just doesn't end, yeah? And the peace that comes with that, and the quality of life that comes with the quieting of the mind, that's why we put in all this energy and time into the Reclaiming Sanity. Anyway, so in our generation, I don't know if it would be Ala Roiv anymore. I think it might be more than that, because imagine this, yeah? The guy's hurtling down from the Golden Gate Bridge, would it shock you if you found out that as he was hurtling down, he was actually thinking, I hope someone's getting a video of this?
Eventually.
Would that shock you?
Well, they filmed it in advance.
Would that shock you if you heard that you found out somehow?
His ego is still there.
Wouldn't shock me at all. I wouldn't be shocked at all. You agree with me, no?
I don't know.
What?
They're so self-absorbed. I don't know if they can see that.
Right. No, that's why they're so self-absorbed.
No, that's the self-absorption. That's what I'm saying. The self-absorption. Meaning, I hope there's a video on this because this could go viral.
No, it's even stronger. You prepared in advance with a camera. That's, I'm going to jump.
That's for sure. That I've seen. That there's many videos of that online of people doing that. TikTok, you know, TikTok suicides. They have it. Mamush, TikTok suicides, Facebook suicides.
Oh, gosh.
Vadai, many. Yeah, Rahmanas. Little Japanese girls and stuff like that. Like little girls, just, you know, that you see them walk up to the Binyan Rahmanas. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about a guy who's decided, someone's decided to give up their life because they don't want to live anymore. But the thinking is so strong. That's just like, all I'm saying is I don't know if the Alaroyev of what Netanya says is applicable anymore. I just don't know because we're in such a different generation where thinking is so much. What?
I think most people still have the will to live.
But the will to live for their Yiddishkeit. Meaning everyone has the will to live. But we're talking about someone puts a gun to their head and says Hashem Echad. But bow to that idol or I'll kill you.
But the point is that he's saying Al Piro because there's some people with Chole Nefesh. But if somebody has a regular will to live, then that Chachma should pierce through at that moment.
It's
even
not
the regular
will to live. It's the Neshama. It's not their will to live. It's their will to live that gets overridden.
I thought your shot was that Al HaRov meant that since Rove people have that basic will to live, then they're going to...
It's the opposite. They'll give up their life. Meaning most people have their... They're in tune enough with the neshama, meaning that the nefesh of Bahamas, whose will... When you put a gun to a nefesh of Bahamas' head and say, bow to the idol or I'll kill you, he'll look at you and go, immediately bow.
Yes.
What are you talking about? It's not that the Nefesh of Bahamas is the one that's overridden. He wants to live. How does he want to live? How does he get cancelled? By the will of the Neshama. That the Neshama can't entertain the thought of being pulled from Hashem. So because of the intensity of... It's not because of the intensity of the Neshama. It is also that... But it's also, this is the point, is because of the level of intensity of the Nefesh Bahamas. If the Nefesh Bahamas isn't a raving psychopath, then the voice of the Nefesh Rakis will override it. But Kol Zman, the Nefesh Bahamas has become so loud and so pronounced that's...
But it's so funny because we're saying that the will to this people with Chole Nefesh, they would die anyway, but they wouldn't die in this situation.
But don't forget, we're talking about the flip. We're talking about a completely mirror image. We're just using it as a moshel. Okay. The idea of a person would give up their... I hear what you're saying. You're getting it confused because we spoke about two opposite things, but they actually, in the nimshel, they're connected. But let's get back to this. The point is that was just a side point anyway, that the will to live... Okay, this you could call the will to live. The Nefesh of Bahamas will call it the will to live. We just got sidetracked about how could it be that people commit suicide, okay, which is a fair enough thing to ask. But this is really your will to live. Now, your will to live, yeah, which is called Ratzon, is really a manifestation of the Pnimius, which is called Oineg, pleasure. The Nefesh of Bahamas' will to live is really an expression of its real desire, which is not to live, which is for pleasure.
That's why he wants to live, because he wants to have pleasure.
There's a lot of reasons why people eat. Yeah, but pleasure, your will to live is actually the ultimate manifestation of your desire for pleasure.
So if you have the pleasure, why are you killing yourself for it?
The what?
If you have pleasure, why are you killing yourself? If you have pleasure, you fulfill your will. So why would a person want to do suicide?
Well, that's darkness, we're talking about with there. The machshavas, when you think your life is so unpleasurable,
right.
Right. That, to live for, right.
Then you've got nothing to live for, and you'll give it. And that accounts for what we said, when a person is actually in chronic pain, they can lose their will to live.
No more hope.
They can't imagine pleasure.
No more hope for future pleasure. Hope.
Yeah,
so
and
hope.
Yeah, exactly. No hope for future pleasure and intense pain right now, and no connection to the essence of their mortal soul, of their created human soul. It's just like, let me finish, you know, let me go. Done. I'm done. So that accounts for both reasons. So the pnimius rotson of the Nefesh of Bahamis is Tainug. Now, like we said, that manifests as the will to live. So now, what does that mean, the will to live? Right now, your life is not threatened in any way, shape, or form. Yeah? So what, your will to live's gone? Meaning, I understand if I'm in a life and death situation in Azza, yeah, then my will to live is like pumping. But what about right now? We're all sitting here, we've got drinks in our hands, there's nothing threatening my life in any way, shape or form. So what's with my will to live?
I'm enjoying pleasure right now. This is a form of pleasure.
So there's the enjoyment of pleasure, but that is, like we said, it's all bound up anyway, but the will to live, when your survival is taken care of, manifests as a will to make your life more bigger, stronger, like we spoke about, solidify your existence, like we spoke about, and be humble, the idea of that wall, like the seed that I sent out last night with the wall. Yeah, that idea of the wall around you, that is what you are trying to construct. Now, the wall around me, by definition, in this soul, can't include anyone else. It just can't, by definition. So my wall around me, the Nefesh Abraham's wall around me, is actually not just the wall around me, it's a wall between us. You with me? Not just us, between every other person. That's called Sinas Chinam. That's Sinas Chinam. Now, how does that manifest? That could manifest in endless ways, depending on your nature and nurture. How does the fact that I've got this all, do I want to like conquer you? Do I want to run away from you? Do I want to destroy you? Do I want to use you? Do I want to trick you? Do I want to make you think something? It could translate in any way.
So where is Sinas Chinam sitting here? Is there Sinas Chinam?
I hope not. Sinas Chinam is when you are identified with your Nefesh Bahamis. This is the point of what I'm trying to say.
So
this being is a Soine Chinam. That's what he is. Now you can train him. This is the avoider of the Umayso Olam. Is they have the same Inyan. Yeah? For all intents and purposes, their Nefesh Bahamis, our Nefesh Bahamis is the same thing. There is a very profound difference, yeah, but it's like we've said before, it's the difference between a kosher piece of steak and a treif piece of steak. You cannot tell the difference between either one. Nothing, except for this one costs a lot more, yeah? But literally, there's no difference between them. You wouldn't be able to taste the difference as well unless you're a really big tzaddik. So you can train the Nefesh Bahamis in what's called the golden rule. No, not behavdurecha kamoicha.
Alayich
sani lechvecha loy savid.
Again?
It doesn't understand behavdurecha kamoicha. That's why Hillel said to the goy, alayich sani lechvecha loy savid. What's the first words? We're going to learn this on Sunday night.
We did it already.
The first, what?
We did it already.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you're right. So that's the inyan of Yishuva Oretz, which is what the Mishnah says, that an Amma Oretz says what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. That's an Amma Oretz. Mishnah Avos, yeah?
Like,
socialism? There's Shalish, yeah, the Chassid says, Shalish Shalcha Shalach Shalish Shalcha, and the Amma Oretz says, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. Why the Amma Oretz? that's an MOS isn't a fool. An MOS is a very gaseous. He's a gas-sticker person. He's not an idiot. You can get an MOS who's a brilliant, you know, Albert Einstein's an MOS, the nicer. Yeah? It's not a din on intelligence. That sounds ridiculous. What's yours is mine, what's mine is yours. It sounds like a simpleton, yeah? It's not. That's the laws of Yeshiva Olam. That's what's called Am Ha'aretz. The actual word Am Ha'aretz is a weird, it's a completely weird phrase. What does it mean? A nation of the earth. You call a mensch Am Ha'aretz. We're just accustomed to the Loshon. But when you actually think about the translation of that, it's weird, no? I'm a nation of the world, of the land. You're talking about a guy, he's an Am Ha'aretz. Yeah, the whole Indian, that's why they're called the Umos Ha'olam. The Umos Ha'olam, the whole point of the Umos Ha'olam is to give Yishuv Ha'aretz. They're here to be, Hashem wants a Yishuv Ha'aretz. So without the Umos Ha'olam, there'd be no world for us to bring back to Hashem. So that's the Indian on a micro level, that's the Indian of the Amaratzim in Am Yisrael, is they're the ones who create the Yishuv. So that's the rule of Yishuv, is what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. That's called the golden rule. Meaning, I'll scratch your back and you'll scratch my back. And that's what Hillel said. The alayich sani lechvech loy savid, which means, what's the first word, which we said on Sunday, is me. You, the alayich, what on you, sani is hateful, don't do to the other. What's the first word of the whole sentence? Is you. Meaning, extrapolate from your matzias that you are manda ama. And now appreciate that he's also, just like you, have got feelings and experiences and family and a whole thing going on, so too with him. And that, you can train the Nefesh HaBahamis to the point where you will end up with a Gandhi or a Stephen Covey.
To overcome its Nesachinim.
Where it, well, it's...
Not really, you're just taking care of yourself. It's the most selfish thing
you can do. Yeah, well, that is true.
It's like a back-to-back.
However you want to talk about it, but it's still a very nice thing.
Doesn't Paragon and Bayes deal with this?
What?
Doesn't Paragon and Bayes, doesn't it deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the main place it talks. There's a lot of other places as well, but that's the main... Indian of Avis Yisrael, but it's talking more about from the other side. It does say it will be an Avatalu Badavra.
Right.
That's the whole point, is it's Talui. I mean, Gandhi got to a tremendous Madrega where he was really about other people. He was doing Tanasim all day long. Ask the chatbot to give you a quick summary of Gandhi. You'll be like, wow, if this guy was Jewish, I would be thinking he's a big tzaddik. I don't know how I'm going to work it out now because he's not Jewish. So what do I do with that? Yeah, that's just silly. Yeah, he was of the tzaddik umos ha'olam. I don't know if you could call him the chassidah umos ha'olam, because the chassidah umos ha'olam need to be ma'amin in Har Sinai, because the difference between a chassid and a tzaddik on this bechina is that the chassid is in a relationship. The chassid belongs to someone. The tzaddik is Yasha. So that's the difference between the chassidah umos ha'olam and the tzaddikah umos ha'olam. This is what I heard Rav Manis say to me, is that the tzaddikah umos ha'olam are the guys that you meet, if you met in your life, who are mamash straight as an arrow businessman. They're good, honest people. You can depend on them. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? But they're atheists.
So a lot of Jews are tzaddikah umos ha'olam.
Yeah. And a lot of goyim are tzaddikim umos ha'olam. I know I've had such lovely interactions with so many goyim in my life. It's that's how it is. There's a lot of very righteous people out there. And so, but they're not chassidim umos ha'olam, because you can't be a chassid unless you have a rebbe. Meaning that chassid means the rebbe could be a shem, it should be a shem. Chassid means you belong to someone. That's what chassid means. It means you've been acquired. Yeah.
Well, like a Talmud of Gandhi would be a chassid of Gandhi, or is it only
one around? Really, ultimately, is you mean to be you belong to Hashem. That's the point. I don't know how it would work with. That's a good question.
Or today Christians who they're talking about Hashem, but they're just chassidei Yashka. But what are they talking about? Talking about Hashem. Like I've met Sadiqe Christians who are all they talk about is Hashem.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
God spoke to me, and I pray, and I pray all day, and I'm thinking about God all day. They're like, the Hasidim of Hashem. They're just
they can't be Hasidim of Hashem, in that they could be Hasidim of a tzura of Hashem. Because they're human beings. The only thing that can relate to the Rabbeinu Shloim is a neshama. That's it. Meaning everything else in creation is sphera. But spheres are, I don't know enough to say that. I don't know. But I suppose if a neshama can, then a vada a sphera can. But a neshama relates to the Rabbeinu Shloim because it's of the Rabbeinu Shloim. It's a chelek elokai. It looks at the Rabbeinu Shloim. A created being is always going to be dealing with a tzura of the Creator. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be very, very adin.
Refined.
It could be very elevated, very refined, but they're a human being, so they're doing it through their human soul, which, at the end of the day, is not going to be the Rabbeinu Shloim.
I'm just trying to define what is a chassidei umas ha'olam?
Yeah, so the definition, according to the Rambam, we understand it, the definition of chassidei umas ha'olam is a righteous Gentile who is ma'amin in ha'sinai and is shown by the Sheva Mitzvah Noach.
Ah, okay.
If you're ma'amin in ha'sinai, then you're shown by the Sheva Mitzvah Noach. That's the definition. So you've got, you know, and then, but the point is not by default, because you'd have a righteous goy who, he's not going to be cursing out God, yeah? He's not going to be bowing to Avodah Zarah. He's not going to be unfaithful to his wife. He's not going to be killing. He's not going to be stealing.
He's just not doing it for Hashem.
Hashem's not in the picture. So he's not doing it because of a tzivoy. It's not because of a tzivoy. It's because of he came to that conclusion by himself. And a guy in a different, you know, Lavush, who came from a different nature and nurture, came to a different conclusion. So it just makes sense to be. This is the whole point of Yishuv Olam Shemaychem, is that you are. It makes sense that Laich Sani Lachaverch Lo Yisavid. It makes sense. Oh, Shalom Shemaychem. That Laich Sani Lachaverch Lo Yisavid. It makes sense. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And then it could work out that you could get so elevated that you'll realize that me scratching your back is actually the biggest geschmack. I have here, this is so profound, see this thing? I cut it out, I copied it and cut it and put it in the back of my Tanya. Tony Robbins, who is, yeah, Anthony Robbins? Yeah? So in his book, it was Awaken the Giant Within, I think, written many years ago. By the way, that is what we learned about Live Life. Awaken the Giant Within is a 500-page thesis on the principle of live life. That's what it is, from every way. It's a bit of a boring thing to go through, but anyway. So in the book, like they used to do in the old days, is they bring quotes. Maybe they used to do now. Is they bring quotes, you know, all over the place from different famous people. Yeah, nowadays you can do the chatbot, the ChatGPT. If you do a thing for quotes of famous people and then ask the ChatGPT to give you its own quotes, it will smash them. Smash them. The greatest thinkers of all time, the ChatGPT will destroy the greatest quotes you ever heard. And if you take that quote and put it into ChatGPT, it will make it better as well. It's amazing. Anyway, so in his whole book, I just thought it was very hashkachadik, there was one quote in his whole book from him himself. They're all from, you know, like, you know, Gandhi and all, you know, Jefferson and all kinds of Franklin and all that heavy, yeah? Aristotle. And there's one from him himself. It says like this. Only those who have learned the power of sincere and selfless contribution experience life's deepest joy, true fulfillment. Do you hear the... I don't know if you want to call it hypocrisy, the contradiction in that thing, in this statement. Only those who have learned the power of sincere and selfless contribution experience life's deepest joy, true fulfillment. Meaning the best thing you can do for yourself is be selfless. And that's Pashat true. It's Pashat true. The people who go through the hardest time in their life, the more narcissistic a person is, the more Gehenim he's in. And it works like that, because that's how he gets cleansed of his narcissism. Either he'll die through his narcissism, or he will be cleansed of his narcissism through suffering in this world, which is Gehenim. I don't, according to how I understand it, I don't know if Gehenim is a place you go to after this world. I think it is this world. If you're, it's stuck in yourself in this world. So this world anyway is a funny thing. It's either you're in reality or in yourself. There's only two options. I think the second option is called Gehenim. That's just my own understanding of things. Anyway, so this is the inyan of the Nefesh HaKhamis, is you can train.
Why do you have that in your Tanya? Why did you put that there?
It's the whole inyan of the, that summarizes the entire avoda, the umos olam. That summarizes.
This is not a book for the umos olam.
No, but you have to. One of a very deep avoda of Tanya is getting very, very clear on what the difference between Yisrael and umos olam are. I mean, that's pashut. If you don't know what a goy is, well, then how can you be Jewish? I mean, you don't even, what?
To know your enemy.
No. Chas v'shalom. Not to know your enemy. Not in that sense.
To know who you are.
You need to know that. You're like my kids. You go to these Haredi schools in Yerushalayim, yeah? Yeah, their picture of the umos ha'olam are people walking around with axes, yeah, and having nif with sheep.
And that's not true.
What?
That's true.
It's true. That is the idea.
No, see, this is the point. Kozman, that's your concept of a human being. Now, what do you need to be Jewish? Well, don't kill people and don't have relations with animals, and you're good. But that doesn't account for people like Mahatma Gandhi and Stephen Covey. When I say Shalosh Ani Goy, I think about Stephen Covey. I mean, usually I say without Kavanah. But if I was to have Kavanah, B'zvat Hashem, I would think about Mahatma Gandhi and Stephen Covey. People who reached tremendous madrigas of humankind.
Jordan Peterson.
What?
Jordan Peterson,
Avadai. A mamash, a righteous man. Avadai, righteous man.
Can I ask the sahakul of basically, so what is the difference between what Jordan Peterson is saying and what Tanya is saying?
There's no difference. It's the point. The point is to.
What is the Shalom?
I think Roman makes millions of
the
time.
What is the Shalom Yisani Goy? What do I have in mind when I say Shalom Yisani Goy different than this quote?
Anthony Roman makes millions.
That, no matter how. That no matter how elevated a human being becomes, he can't serve Hashem. He's never serving. That's why the next level is Eved. And then after that is Isha. He's never serving Hashem because he's a human being. How can a human being serve Hashem? Meaning, it's always going to be a tzura of Hashem. The only reason why a Jew can serve Hashem is because he has a neshama. But he also has a human element as well. So you can learn a huge amount from the umos ha'olam in regards to your human avoider.
So basically, Shlomo Yisrael Goy is saying, I have a power in me, something that I will never understand. Something that's greater, beyond my understanding. I have no idea what it is. Sure. And I'm okay with that, and that's for us.
That's why you need the Buddha, because you don't know what to make of it.
That's Yisrael Goy.
You have the ability to serve God.
Because you don't know.
You have the ability to serve God. It's not just from a selfish, humanistic ability.
They'd say more like that. It's not from a human. They'd say selfish is not fair to say that. I understand exactly what you're saying, and you're right. But for us, it's better to just talk about a human avoider. To say selfish is like a car can't cook your meal for you. And to say that to call your car a bad cook is true, but it's not. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's the limit that a car is meant to drive you. A human being is not made to serve God. on the way that we understand serving God. A human being is meant to be Mekayim the Oilam, so that the Yidden can actually be Oived the Ein Sof. So to say it's selfish, it's not selfish. They've done their avoidance of Shem by becoming Gandhi had done his thing. I just use him as a dogma, I don't know the guy personally, but he had become, so to speak, an Oved Hashem in the same way, not in the same way, but like a behema, not in the same way, bichlal, but like a behema is also Oved Hashem. Like a behema doesn't, like we say in Birchas Achoy, that when we, in Kiddush Levana, they're not Meshane Tafkidam. Yeah, all the stars and the mazolus and whatever, yeah? So in that sense, all of the natural world is serving Rabbeinu Shalom. It's in line with Ratzon Hashem, and not consciously. The avoider of the Umos HaOlam is to not to run the default. By the way, if you want to, what's the first bracha we say in the morning? You know what that really is? L'emes, think about that. That's Loshen Naki for saying Shalom Sani Behema. Not going to say such a thing. You talk and mention a chicken as well, by the way. But you're not going to say that. No, you said Nasechvi Vein Lachim Vein Yom Vein Laila. Well, that sounds a little bit like, that sounds like a human being, no? The difference between an animal and a human being. You can't say Shalom Sani Behema. That wouldn't be a, that would be a nice thing to say. But you're saying,
thank you Hashem for giving a rooster Bina.
The Sechvi is also in Yenu Seichu. And to be mazbe, to understand, I'm saying it's clear that that's the kavanah of
the whole
world.
What? The brachas, the whole world. You're saying that the world is meant to serve the Abishah.
Yeah, it's pasha that's what Chazal women is coming to. It's pasha. You don't need a makor for that. That you need a makor to tell you the opposite. That's pasha. That's the first bracha. Yeah, Shalom Asani Behema, which is not a nice thing to say, so don't say that. Shalom Asani Goy, Shalom Asani Eved, Shalom Asani Isha. Those are madragas in tzivoy. And ever a behema has no tzivoy. A goy has shevet tzivoyim. And eved has 365 and how it work out, but a bunch more. And isha, so an isha probably has two. I don't know how it works out, but then isha has more. And then a yid, a male yid has 613. However it works out. But it's an inyan of tzivui.
Where exactly in Tanya do you see the opposite? I know the whole Tanya is the opposite based of this perspective of what Tony Robson was saying earlier. Meaning, is there specific words in the Tanya that
is bifnei asma. He's asking the avoid of a yid is not that. Where do we see that? So he says, Liyoy's Dava Bifne Atzmoy. There's Harbe Makoimus that he
is
says.
Is Perik Aleph at the end, maybe, when he explains what Rabbi Hashem is?
Yeah, you could say that's a little strong, that language there. Elis Yoy. Yeah. You say that there's more. It's the inyan of being a Dava Bifne Atzmoy, something unto yourself. That's the inyan. And your Nefesh Bahamis is only that. It can't not be that. It's a creative being. But what it can do is it can educate itself. It can, what's the word?
Functions.
In a sense, domesticate.
It can extrapolate.
It has a seichel. It can be mechanech.
Your nefesh has a seichel. Mm-hmm. It's the nefesh.
It's mechanech. It doesn't know. It can't. That's the point. It can't transcend itself. But it can be mechanech itself to understand that you're tucker right. It makes a lot of sense for me to be a mensch. And in fact, the more menschlich I am, the better that is for me, to the point where you don't even think about you anymore. And really all you're doing is thinking about other people. But it came from that shoresh of da'alayich.
It was always b'cheshbin. A guy can never get out of being in a cheshbin.
Even
and that's my Shalom Asani Goy. Shalom Asani Goy.
You're throwing in a new nuance there, which is confusing a bit. I know.
Even in Nefesh HaBahamas itself, we're not even talking about the Nefesh HaLikud.
No, we're talking about the Nefesh HaBahamas.
Within the Nefesh HaBahamas, we say Shalom Asani Goy.
Oh, I mean, no, look, a Jew is.
No,
wait, no, I hear what you're saying. The definition. definition of a Jew.
We need a definition of a Jew.
Shmuel, you'll realize this will clear up everything for you. Definition of a Jew, which is the most important thing to have a definition of. Definition of a Jew is a human being, how I've understood from my rabbi, is a human being with a neshama. A neshama is not Jewish. A neshama is a neshama. There's no such thing as a Jewish neshama.
It's probably a Jewish.
So, a human being with a neshama is a Jew. So, when you say Shlosani Goy, you're talking about the whole picture. Nefesh Abahamis, Nefesh Maskeles, Nefesh Kis, the whole thing. Goof, Levushim, the whole thing is the Jew. So we're not talking, you're not talking from perspective. When you say Elokai Neshama Shinsata B, that's a tefillah from the mouth of Nefesh Abahamis. Because a Neshama Shinsata B, the Neshama that you put in me.
Well, isn't the Nefesh Maskeles?
Yeah, in the morning, you feel very
gush and that's the void of the morning.
So that's why the shantum center B, and then after, slowly by Shema, you feel already.
That's the avoider of Shachris. That's why we've said over and over and over and over again is that if you want to begin avoider Hashem, then start taking Shachris seriously and find yourself a minyan that isn't like the regular minyanim here. Sorry to say, but it's very difficult to daven in the regular minyanim here. You have to be a warrior to daven how you're meant to daven in the minyanim everywhere. I go to Shimon HaTzadik early in the morning every day because of that. I realized that, was it Rabbi Saul Salanta said that should you learn, what is it like, if you've got an extra half an hour, do you learn Gemara or Musa? He said, you learn Musa, and then you'll see that you've got much more time to learn other stuff as well, yeah? And I just want to, in my chutzpah, I'm going to add on to that, that without Shachris, you didn't even begin. That is the beginning of Yiddishkeit, Mamash. To take Shachris seriously, to give it the respect that it's due. That is, without that, you're building on quicksand. Mamash. Shachris should be the idea of the Nefesh Bahamas saying that is, we're talking about the whole, when you say Shalosani Goy, we're talking about the entire picture of the entire composite being, what we call Yisrael. So we've got all the pieces in place now, it should be quite simple to understand, yeah? So you've got the Nefesh Bahamas, yeah? We were discussing what is Sinas Chinam, which was, I had no intention of talking about this Bichlal, but Hashgacha, this is the Zman to talk about it, because we're in the Omer, which is exactly the Inyanim, with Rebbe Kiva's Talmidim. And now, the Nefesh of Bahamas, let's say he likes coffee, he likes money, he likes beer, and another thing he likes?
Chocolate.
Cabbage.
That's
steak.
Steak. Okay. Now, this is the wall. This is the egoic wall. This is what he's interested in. Now, like we said, his desire to survive is the b'mischazek, this wall. Conceptually,
with me? That's his reason of surviving.
No, the opposite. It's the manifestation of his rason to survive.
It's what he does. No.
He wants to survive.
Why because I like the steak?
Huh?
No. The Tainug is not the steak is not Tainug. If you this is a one
he doesn't wake up in the morning and say, "I need steak." He wakes up in the morning and says,
I need coffee.
And then he finds
coffee.
This is an important idea. Shalom aleichem. Important idea is that we've said this many times. This is very important. Very a complete what's the word?
Paradigm shift.
Reframe, a complete reframe. To instead of saying the chocolate gives me pleasure, is to say the chocolate touches my pleasure. That's a deep, 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 deep idea. Yeah, there's no, the chocolate doesn't give you pleasure. The chocolate touches your pleasure. Oineg is the essence of the soul, in any soul, in any soul. The oineg is the essence of, so for you, because of your nature and nurture, yeah, the chocolate touches your, but for the Chassidish kids, yeah, who grew up, well, I grew up, it could be the herring touches their oineg, and you give the herring to one of the kids where I grew up in London, and they'd throw up, you know? So what touch it, and you can pervert yourself to start getting pleasure from pain. You know, people, that's called a masochist. You get all kinds of wacky stuff, yeah? So it's, again, it's not that there's pleasure in the chocolate or the steak or the beer. They're, that those experiences touch
pleasure.
Your pleasure. That's why you're after them.
If you love something, you say, I like steak, but you really love yourself. That's
yeah, that's the, that's exactly the point. That's the nice way to say it. I didn't think of it like that. It's exactly the point. Exactly.
Well, that's like a common vision.
Yeah?
Okay.
So now, so really the reason why you're into all of these things is because you're touching the essence of your humanity, the essence of your mortal being. And what does that do?
You feel alive.
That's, now you're alive. Like Descartes, he didn't say this. Yeah, but he said it in French, and he didn't mean this. But the way people say it is, "I think, therefore I am." Yeah, he was much more. He was much cleverer than that. Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. So if that's what he said, oh, because I think I know that I am. Yeah, a much more accurate. In fact, the way I understand it, a truly accurate statement would be, "I experience pleasure, therefore I am." When you're experiencing pleasure, you absolutely are. You couldn't be fooled that you're not. You with me? So.
Or when your life is threatened.
What?
When your life is threatened, you also feel very alive. So people do things in order to, like.
Yeah. That's what we just said earlier. That's the survival mechanism that kicks in with the suicidal person when his life gets genuinely threatened. He now wants to live. And, you know, go to a guy who's suicidal and put a gun to his head. And I could imagine, you know, most of them would probably, you know, beg you for mercy. I don't know, but that's the exactly what you're saying, the same idea, that you're reconnecting to your to this wall. So all of these things, now, Colesmine, you don't know this, what we've just said, yeah, which is not that many people who do know this, yeah, from my experience. Now, let's say I'm a big tzaddik, yeah, and I've decided now that I am going to... I'm going to take a vow of celibacy. So I cut this line here. I vowed celibacy.
Fasting.
What?
Fasting.
Huh?
Fasting.
What?
Fasting.
Fasting. Exactly. The same thing. This is exactly going back to the point of fasting where this whole discussion began. Yeah? So now I've cut off, is exactly the point. Thank you. I've cut off my, let's do that. Food. In Yana Diyoma. Okay, so now, the guy decided celibacy is too much for him. He can't deal with that, yeah? So he's going for the easy option, that I'm fasting, okay? So I'm gonna break my attachment to food. Now, who decided that he's gonna do that? This Nefesh Bahamas has decided right now that the best thing to do is to stop eating.
Why? The Nefesh Bahamas would want to eat. The Neshama would say,
because he has conscience.
Generally, the Nefesh Bahamas does want to eat, and that's why he says in the beginning of Tanya that David HaMelech killed his Nefesh Bahamas.
His
Yetzirah with Tainus. Yeah? But when we understand the inyan of tainus, which is really making, keeping promises, it becomes a different thing, yeah? That I can now say that I'm not having food. But if it's that being that's saying that I'm going to abstain from food, all he cares about is this. And now he has linked to another thing called fasting, just like he likes coffee, money, beer, steak, food. He cut food and now connected to this. So he's mishazik this. He can't not be mishazik this. Or now, let's say he's mamash a big tzaddik. So he broke his thing from fasting and his whole thing is yishuv ha'aretz. Yeah? Now he's still, this is his inyan. He's a yishuv ha'aretznik. So his inyan now, he's still solidifying this. So now the whole of Avodas Hashem gets flipped on its head. Am I trying to stop speaking Lashon Hara? Am I trying to stop looking at bad stuff on the computer? Am I trying to learn with more diligence? Am I trying to daven more diligence? Am I trying to give more tzedakah? Am I trying to treat my wife more nicely? Am I trying to put on tefillin and rebbein atam? And it's all the different avoiders, yeah? And you missed the whole thing because really the avoider, nefesh elokis, the avoider is breaking that line.
How do you know if you're doing it from the nefesh elokis to if you're doing it from the...
So that's what we said about your Avos Yisrael. Now, don't get me wrong, I only learned this a few months ago, maybe a year ago or so, that even Avos Yisrael can become a Shita. By the way, everything, these things are called Shitas in Lashon Tanya. Yeah, this is the Inyan of Shita, or maybe you could say in Toras Chabad. These ideas are Shitas. Yeah, Shitas are what give you...
Identification.
A shita is an ideology. It's something you're identified with. Yeah. So really, what a person could be doing if he hasn't learned Torah Sabah Shem Tov properly is that he's working on all of these inyanim, and it sounds very good. You know, I'm not. You know, go to your Rebbe and tell him that I've decided to not eat steak for a month. He give you a pat on the back. Kol hakavod.
Well, I'm not. What's wrong with steak?
I have gout, so if I have to be careful.
Avodas Hashem could also be in those shitas if you're not doing it b'shma.
Then it's not Avodas Hashem. But yeah, anything can be here. Like we said, fasting can be here. Like I said, I told
but
you.
But they're not taivas, they're shitas. Because fasting is not taivas.
No, it's a new taiva.
They're taivas.
It's a new taiva, it's a different word.
But in reality, there's only one taiva. Taiva is to live, that's the taiva. We
and
say
identity,
we've got a time of
identity
chocolate.
Is that the kind of being alive. Identity. It gives you pleasure.
That's the point. It's easy to say. It solidifies you. So this could be any.
The whole world is a time of.
Everything. Everything can become. You can identify with your backache. A person can, if he doesn't have, a portfolio of property in New York, yeah? And he's scratching for something to identify with, he will identify, and we see this, you can vouch for this, people identify with their abused childhoods to the point where they can't actually let go of it. Because that's giving them this wall. So you're like, why are you're harping on the fact that, you know, that this happened to you when you were 4 years old and you've been harping on it for 50 years, yeah? And the reason why they're still involved in it is because they haven't got anything else to give them their identity. So that becomes their identity. You can use anything to become an identity.
It's a word identity all of a sudden.
What are you?
They call it slave mentality. People are claiming that I can't get a job, I can't hold it together, I have to leave my family because my grandfather was a slave, so therefore I'm behind the eight ball already. It locked into slave mentality.
So now they've identified with the fact that they were slaves. Right. Whatever it is, you can identify with anything.
That's the Machshava that you talk about.
It's all in Machshava. This is all human.
So
it's all in the realm of Machshava.
So basically switching, let's say, from state to fasting, or from fasting to Yishavoretz, or something like that. It's basically like a child transforming from a little car to a little toy car.
That's exactly what he says
in Tanya. Loving a big car.
Exactly what he says.
It's all about the attachment to it.
That's exactly what he says in Perek 6 of Tanya. Bidyuk, how you said it. Listen. He says, a katan loves insignificant things, b'chusei erech, that aren't worth anything, l'fisha sichloi kotten v'kotze l'hasig d'vayim yakayim yoysa mehem. Because you can't be masig things that are worth more. Yeah? V'chem is ka'as v'kaz v'dvayim katanim, that meaning that, so it's l'fi erech, he says, he uses the word l'fi erech, meaning as the mind expands. So if you don't do any avoider as a human being, yeah, as a kid you're into Tonka toys and Kluffim and v'chulei, but as your mind expands naturally in this world, you realize that the Rolex watches and sports cars are more valuable. So you will stop caring about Tonka toys and you will move into the realm of Rolex watches and sports cars. Nothing happened, nothing really changed. Your mind got a little bit bigger. But if you're an intelligent person and you actually realize that Rolex watches and sports cars are not going to give you what you're actually looking for, then you will start going vital and you'll start realizing, like what Anthony Robbins realized, that really you want the most out of life, give your life to everyone else. Wow. That's a human, that is the spitz of being human.
How do you know though that learning Torah or one of those things are not also feeding your...
It can be.
I'm a total Elish, my boy Lishma.
When you're moving from the...
That's what we said at the beginning before you came in. We said according to me, I'm sure there's lots of other stuff, but the only simon that I know of that is an accurate litmus test of your lishma, which is really what we're talking about. This is low lishma, and cutting this is called lishma. The neshama's lishma. So this is the whole avoider. Yeah. The only litmus test that I know of lishma is your avos yisrael, because that's the one thing that the nefesh of Bahamas, now he can take the shita of avos yisrael, but he can't actually take avos yisrael because it's a steerer to his wall.
But I think the simon is if you get upset, if it's threatened.
I said, however it expresses itself.
Someone's going to take away your ability, you know, the kosher food or the whatever, this or that, and you're all of a sudden upset. Why are you upset? Only the Nefesh Bahamas gets upset.
Well, that's the Nefesh Bahamas has three opinions of people. A person who can strengthen his wall, he will be miscarried. A person who will affect his wall negatively, he'll be misrachik. And a person who doesn't make a difference to him, he will be ambivalent towards. That's called Avatali Badava that you mentioned. What's your name? That's called an avatalui b'davar. It will always be dependent on, are you good for me, are you bad for me, or are you nothing to me?
What is the explanation of cutting off between? Because we are Nevejalikos, and we are Nevejalikos.
We're not talking about cutting the relationship off. We're talking about breaking.
Identification.
And that's what he says in chapter 32. He says it, listen to how he says it. He says it in a slightly more... different language.
Learning Torah and you don't get pleasure from it, is that a simon that it's lishma?
No.
Chazanish says that when you're learning Torah and you have no feeling whatsoever, and you're just doing it because the Ebrish Torah was with Sabi, is bechina.
Is
Melis lishma.
Yeah.
But then there's the
who says that lishma is when you get pleasure from learning it. And these are all big inyanim that really need to be spoken about a lot. You're chayev to give. I think that the answer, the way I understand it, you are chayev. We're talking about this last night. It's a whole big inyan. And if you want to, I just put the video on YouTube if you're interested in watching it. That everyone knows you have to give your avoider to Hashem. Meaning you have to give, not your body, you have to give the Maisa Mitzvah. Yeah, have all the kavanas about Kriya Shema in the world and you don't say Shema Hashem V'Shem Echad, nothing. Yeah? And then there's Mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, but you didn't get the Mitzvah of Shema Yisrael. Or Tefillin. If the Maisa Mitzvah is off, there's nothing. So the foundation is the Maisa Mitzvah. That's the first thing. Yeah? What's the next thing you have to give to Hashem?
Kavana.
The Kavana. Kavana's a Mitzvah. He wants that as well. It's not enough just the Maisa, the Kavana without the Maisa is nothing. But the Maisa, the Kavana without the Maisa is like wings without a bird. Yeah? What's that? Some feathers. The mitzvah without kavanah is like a bird without wings. That's already a real mandamah. You have halachas with a bird without wings.
Bar Sinai was switched. Bar Sinai was switched.
But Bar Sinai before it was the other way. Yeah, don't get confused. That, yeah, we spoke about that before. Yeah, that. But now the matzias of reality is that the ma'aser mitzvah is primary. That's the first thing you have to give to Hashem. Without the ma'aser mitzvah, there's nothing. That's giving really the goof. Yeah, and the energy. The life energy of the Nefesh Bahamis. Yeah? Now the next thing is you have to give the Kavana, the Avra Nira. He wants that as well. So the goof, the mitzvah without Kavana is like a goof without a neshama. Yeah? Which is still it's still a choshev thing. We're machabad a goof very much. Go to Levi, we're very much machabad a goof. So it's a goof without a neshama. But it doesn't do anything, yeah? So the first, we're getting to the question, the answer right now, so this is the answer, what you're asking, is the first thing is you give the Maisa mitzvah. The second thing is you give the Kavanasa mitzvah. And if you're really, really givoldic, you give him your oineg as well.
I think this is exactly what we're saying over here. The idea to identify with the feeling, or I'm doing what the Nefesh HaKadosh is, and the Nefesh HaKadosh feels automatically. It's an automatic response. I'm not focused on it, but it's rather an automatic response that Hashem is giving me an extra credit.
You could say it like this. Are you the Nefesh HaBahamis, or is the Nefesh HaBahamis your project? That would be a good way of saying it. Meaning the Nefesh HaBahamis is your project. That is your korban that you are being makriv to the Rebbeinu Shalom kol rega v'rega. 24/7. That is what you're giving to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's the tzad hashav from every mitzvah. Every single mitzvah. Tefillin uses black leather and parshias and dioi v'chule. Yeah, tzitzis is tzema and gefen. And tzedakah is maus and v'chule, yeah? The tzad hashav of every single mitzvah is there's a chelik of the mitzvah that is the koyach of doing the mitzvah. That's what you're giving to Rabbeinu Shloim. So the Nefesh HaBahamis is your project. So breaking this line means that you have stopped identifying with this.
Meaning you can still go and enjoy the steaks.
Who's
you could be doing all of these things.
Who's not identifying anymore? I need this.
No, that's the work. That's the work.
The Nefesh HaBahamis is not identifying anymore with Nefesh HaBahamis.
I'll tell you why. This is the unique matzev that us lucky Yidden find ourselves in. Is that for the first time, we've said this many times, and again, I spoke about it last night, and this is what the name of my organization is, which is B'nai Aliyah. This is the Indian of the B'nai Aliyah, and this answers up where Rabmanis Friedman has allowed himself to be dragged through the mud so deeply for his insistence on the fact that Hashem needs your avoider, yeah, which is just driving so many people mad. Yeah, and this is the whole point of it, is because we are in the understanding. Is that we are in an extremely unique situation in that not only is our survival taken care of, which is a chiddush throughout all of history, our survival is taken care of, but we've overdosed on oineg. We've been touching our pleasure of the Nefesh HaBahamis so much that we are now ready, don't get me wrong, a lot of us are addicted to it, but we are now finally ready to ascend that. Because we know, we just know, like there's a great video that I should have posted in the seeds of Jim Carrey getting his second Golden Globe Award. You saw the video? It's a very important thing to watch. It's about a 20 second video. It's Jim Carrey, you know Jim Carrey, yeah?
Comedian.
Yeah, he's a very deep guy. And he gets up and he says, you know, now I've got my second Golden Globe. And you can see you have to watch it. He's basically saying, this isn't enough. This isn't what it is. Like, I always thought the Golden Globe would be what it's about. Yeah, and now I'm getting my second. He said, and now I'm Jim Carrey. He said, I used to be Jim Carrey, dreaming about getting my second Golden Globe. Now I'm a Jim Carrey, dreaming about getting my third Golden Globe. Yeah,
I'm not Jim Carrey right now. Even
the
second
the
one.
The point exactly. Everyone knows that was just. It's just an. It's, but the point is, you know, you've had the most. You've eaten food that the Caesars of yesteryear couldn't have imagined. Yeah, you the idea of being uncomfortable in our generation is unthinkable. Wait, the Mazgan is like 3 degrees too hot. You start complaining, it's crazy. How do you deal with that? What, the leathers of my car aren't like aerated? Chas v'shalom, I'm not gonna put up with that. You can't fool us anymore. It's pasha, everyone knows this. What, you think the next holiday is gonna be the answer? Why wasn't last holiday enough? You need the next one. And then what they do, and then this is the funny thing, is this is what the wealthy people I've seen end up doing if they're not put together, is these pleasures become the project. I mean, they buy a new house, and then for like a couple of years, they're just asking themselves the question, what will give me more pleasure? And then they plan these extravagant holidays where they're comparing and contrasting the pleasures and the whole. And it's like we've gone to this. We're at the place now where we are ready to get out of pleasure, which means ascending the nefesh of Bahamas, which means getting out of sinas chinam. It's taken 2,000 years of Hashem gently maneuvering us to this place, and that's what the Tanya calls the Bnei Aliyah. And the Bnei Aliyah is over the Shem Letzoich Gavoya, is the Lashon of the Tanya. I'll read you what the Tanya says. The Tanya says, V'loi k'dei ledabka boyiz brach bilvad. Not imagine that. Not just to quench my thirst for God. That's not why he's serving. Bilvad. Lavo is tzimoin nafsham ad samal Hashem, to quench the thirst of the soul that's thirsting for God. Ella could appear. So he said it early. He said, "Nikkurim bnei Aliyah, mipnei shagam avoydasam b'chinas v'asei toiv b'kiyam atov mitzvahs who letzorech gavoya." He brings a bit more. He's must be a drop more. The tzorech gavoya. Now you understand why we have for the need of God. He says the word tzorech gavoya, the higher need. He's not even serving God to fulfill his godly desire, the desire of the nefesh of Elokis. That's, by the way, maybe even on a higher level where we disidentify with that. Well, that's another. That's a whole different thing. We'll talk about that now. But that's the reason why Rav Manis has allowed himself to be dragged through the mud by unapologetically and consistently driving home the fact that Hashem needs your avoda, because without that, all there is this. I'm just serving myself. The game never begins. If you can't do something for the Rabbeinu Shloilem, well, then who are you doing for? And you've fallen back into the hole. That's what's called a misnugged. Why is he called a misnugged? And it wasn't the Hasidim versus the Litvishavel. Bichlal. In fact, as a joke, Hashem put into the Bria that the Vilna Gaon was called the Chosid Mevilna, and the Balatanya was called the Litva. Yeah, exactly the point. It wasn't a machloikas between the Litvish and the Chassidim. It was a machloikas between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim. And you'll realize now in this generation, these payers and the beard and the strain and all that stuff, yeah, that's nothing at all to do with Hasidus. You get Hasidish people who are mamash misnagdim, and you get Litvish tzaddikim who are mamash Hasidim. It's not It's just a different style of clothing. That's all it is, and a different connection to facial hair. So without the Tzorech Gevoya, your avoider is human, and a Jew has been reduced to a human being. So Rav Manis is a very, very big person, and he recognizes that, and he's decided to take the bullet for that. He didn't have to keep going on and saying what and then if you understand Alpi Kabbalah, where is the Tzorech Gevoya, if it's by Zoyin, or if it's Lamala from Avram Bino and Ba'arech, or if Ein Sof, or all the Madregas, where does it end, where does it begin? From my knowledge, it's 100% inaccurate to say that at the level of Zer Ampin and Nekeva, Hashem doesn't need our Avoda. That's 100% inaccurate. It's 100% true to say that at the level of Zoyin, that's called Yichud Kutcha Brichu Shchintei. Zampin is called a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Nuk is called Shechina. So in our less Kabbalistic Lashon, we would call that the Shem Yichud Kutcha Baruch Hu Shechintei, the Yichud of Knesset Yisrael, and the Torah, which is the Shechina and Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's all the same thing, just different words, explain different ideas. That different nuances in the idea. At that level, that's for sure Hashem needs our Avoda. To say need is a correct term, the way I understand it. Beyond that, which is really where the point of contention is, the way that I understand things from my other Rebbe, who's Rav Haas, is you can't say that he needs. Yeah, beyond that level. When you get up to the level of Avon Imma and Arich, of Avadai Atik, and for sure Ein Sof, Atzmus, whatever we want to call it, yeah, then you can't say that. But, very importantly, just like you can't say that he doesn't need anything at that level, you can't say that he doesn't need something at that level. The point of why you can't say anything of those levels beyond is because you can't say anything about it. So to say that he doesn't need is as inaccurate as saying that he does need. It's kind of becomes
semantic. What did he create us for?
What?
What did he create us for if not to do all that Hashem, you know?
Yeah. If they've got double teeth, so why you have
so
to
that, that's not Pasha. That's not that statement that you said is what this everything we're talking about is based on, which is the Ramchal. And that's not what the Arizal says. That's not what it says in the end of Pirkei Avos as well. It says lechavoidoi. It says for his covered. So I don't know why it happened that the Ramchal became the father of Haredi Hashkafa. Yeah, I don't know why that happened. And I would also go as far as to say that when you've got the Masorah of Tanya, yeah, the real Masorah of Tanya, and you learn the Masorah of Sharim, you're learning an absolutely different book to what they learn in the yeshivas. Mamash, like the Ramchal was a chosid mamash.
And
the
Kesef Shem Tov was banished.
What was it?
The Ramchal was banished in the beginning. After
yeah, Vaday. Everyone who spoke MS gets banished.
But if you learn Kesef Shem Tov, it's like the missing word in every puzzle.
There's no way. And says Lis'anei Gal Hashem. There's no Chazal that says that. There's a pasuk in the Navi that we say on Shabbos and Kiddush. There's no Chazal that says. If you read the beginning of Sefer Sharim,
the only way to make actually sense in a way to explain it in the Muslim voice, like the missing puzzle for
no,
every
it's
piece.
Not. It's only that's the only
most
the,
pieces.
No, it doesn't explain anything at all when you think about it deeply. It's only when your somech on your understanding of the Rabbeinu Shloim, that then you might want to say this. But if you can extract yourself from your egoic
existence,
from your egoic tiver to know, to need to know, and you're happy to jump into the sea, yeah, which is the avoider of the yid, then you won't need to say this bechlau. And you read the
you don't have to say anything at that point.
Read the first. Read the. You have a copy of Eitz Chaim.
Nothing does make sense.
Find a copy of Eitz Chaim, read the first few words of Eitz Chaim, and you know what I'm talking about? He says the Lashon Muchrach, that Hashem was Muchrach to be Boireh the Olam. He was Chayev, he was forced. Muchrach. The what?
The beginning of Derech Hashem.
No, the Derech Hashem doesn't. The Derech Hashem says Derech Tov Lahetiv. If you do, you want to show, so there's a Baruch Hashem, I'll show you a beautiful diuk that you can, that I think is a very, and I know that the Ramchal wasn't going against the Arizal, but this diuk actually makes the Ramchal and the Arizal shtim. There isn't an Oitz Rishayim here, is there?
No, we have a Kabbalah.
Is there, you see it? There's an Oitz Rishayim there?
Is it Kabbalah?
Yeah. There's Derech Hashem. Yo, you know there's a Derech Hashem?
Derech Hashem, yeah.
You have Oitz Rishayim as well? Yo, there's an Oitz Rishayim? So if you look at the beginning, it's really interesting to see this lotion in the oitzer in the. I can say it. I'll say it anyway. You can look it up for yourselves. But it's very easy to find at the very beginning of the Oitz Rishayim. You should look it up. And this is a very important diuk. Listen to this. Hine. This is so important to remember. Okay. What when we talk about the kiseh covered, what are we talking about? We're talking about oilam abriya. What's the covered? The kiseh is the oilam abriya. And it's called the kiseh covered.
Oilam abriya, the what?
Because it brings out the most
Bria of Hashem. Bria Yitzir Asir, the highest level of creation.
It brings out the most of Hashem. The most of Hashem is
the revelation. It brings out the...
The most revelation of Hashem is here because it's so much Choshech, so you can get... Bring down Hashem.
Without going further, just to understand what I'm saying. The
Hesaponim is the strongest, therefore it's covered.
The what is the strongest?
Hesaponim is the strongest.
That's a strong.
So it's easy to show his face, but it's harder to actually create something which doesn't show his face, and that's the biggest covenant.
You're saying, but the covenant, what is Hashem's covenant? Meaning, you're talking about the Hashem's covenant is at Sinus. When
Bria's where appearance starts.
Yeah, Bria's where, exactly. So covered at Silas is the ore from the Shemesh, is a netzal of the Shemesh. It's really difficult to talk about this. That's why Chazal only spoke in Moshalim, because you can't define these things. You just need the Moshal. The sun and the rays of the sun is the whole thing. Try and speak this. Does the sun create the light? No, the sun is...
Emits
the light. You turn around to the sun and say, why are you shining? He'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm the sun. That's what I do. Yeah? Just like you say to the Nefesh of Bahamas, why do you want to live? Exactly the same in you. Yeah? So if you put your hand, you can't separate the covered, you can't separate at Silas the Netzal from the Matzil. You can't separate them. But are they the same thing? Well, no, the light from the sun is different from the sun. But you put your hand between the sun and the light gets discontinued. So is it the sun or is it not the sun? You can talk about that, and maybe that's a good thing to talk about. But the moshel, you get the idea. Yeah, these aren't things to define clearly, because it's beyond loshen and this understanding. That's why we've got mashalim. Yeah, that the relationship of Atzilus to the matzil is the same relationship as the rays of light to the sun. Is it something separate from the sun? We could argue that out. No, yes.
Sort of.
Kind of, don't know. Probably not. And if you say it is, I'll say it isn't. If you say it isn't, I'll say it is. I'll be your wife. That's how it goes, yeah? I don't know about your wife. A wife in general. So that's covered. So what's the kiseh covered? It's amazing how it's all marumas in the words. The kisei, well, that's for sure not Hashem. Mm-hmm.
It's a kli.
It's his chair. The cover. Now, when you know, I talk about like when I was talking to Shabbos, like Elon Musk walking into the room. I would doubt, or Donald Trump. I would doubt that anybody would stay sitting if Donald Trump walked into the room right now. You would stand up for him, Yeah, I think you'd be chayav to stand up. In fact, you for sure would be chayav to stand up for him. Yeah, that you should. That you stand up for him. Why? Because of his kavod. It's his kavod. When you're with him, it's emanating from him. His kavod is emanating from him. Yeah, the havdil. But the kiseh kavod, that's not him. That's the olam briya. That's the olam period, like you said. That's when period begins. So bia, briya, yitzira, siya, those are. Again, Hashem Echad, we know that, and there's nothing other than Hashem, yeah, to say that. But that's not helpful to say that when we're talking in the technical term. The difference, there was a gargantuan difference, an infinite difference between Tzilas and Bria. The difference between Tzilas and Bria is infinitely more than the difference between the highest level of Bria and the lowest level of Asiya. And just tangentially, this is what explains Rav Yoel Kahn's explanation that the difference between Yisrael and of the Umos HaOlam is infinitely greater than the highest of the Umos HaOlam neged a stone.
Wow.
Mm.
Say that again.
Infinitely greater. I look at this guy, he's like the same as me. In fact, he's got much better meters than me, and his wife likes him more than me, and he's doing more good for me, doing more good to the world than I am. But still, the difference between Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam is infinitely more than the highest of the Umos HaOlam neged a stone. Because we're talking about the world of Bria and down, the world of creation. These are all created things. Everyone's with me? So Nishmas Yisrael is Mushrash, let's say, in Atzilus. Maybe it's
Tachas Kiseh Kavod.
What? Tachas Kiseh Kavod.
What's Tachas Kiseh
Kavod? I don't know. I can ask if I passed that one time. It's interesting. There's all of these inyanim teach you more de Kazachin. But it is Tachas Kiseh Kavod. It's not the Kiseh Kavod. So now let's go to the Ramchal. What does the Ramchal say? And so the it's beautiful to see the Loshen. The Arizal says at the beginning of Oitzus Hayim, there was a Siba Noidas, yeah? Which means a reason that he was identified with. Noidas from Lashon Das, which is Lashon identification, yeah, merging. That the Siba Noidas, that he was Matzo Ne'et Salim. That's what it says. The Siba Noidas, that the Ein Sof, the All Ein Sof was Matzah Ne'et Salim. He made it sealess.
Emitted emanation.
Was so that all of his kinuyim could be, he could be called Chanun, Barachim, Bechulei. Listen to the Lashon here. Hine. This is Moedic. And you can't know this without learning a bit of Kabbalah. Not much Kabbalah, but a bit. Hine. Hatachlis Babriya. Higher lahativ mituvoi. The tachlis in the bria is lahativ mituvoi yizbrach shemoi lezulasoi. Once there is tzilus and now there's room for bria, now the reason for bria is that. But the reason for. Now this, and this is the difference between Am Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam, is that Am Yisrael is shaykh to tzilus. And then was only Mashiach to Bria down. So this inyan of Derech HaTov LaHeitiv, that makes perfect sense for a creation.
The word before.
Yisrael is not a creation. We're a Netzal. Yeah. We are creation as well, so we have to play that game as well. But that's not the ikkar of what a Yid is. You with me? And that puts the Ramchal and the Arizal and Mamash back in the same team. And like I said, the Ramchal is when you don't have some kind of the way I see it is someone told me before I learned any Kisvei is that I made a comment about Tanya. If you don't know Tanya, then the Lakut Moran is very limited. Yeah, and so the guy turned around to me and he said, if you don't know Kisvei Ari, you've got no idea what Tanya's talking. And what do I say? I knew nothing about Kisvei, so I put my head between my legs and I said, sorry, yeah? But as I started learning Kisvei, I realized that he got it completely wrong. And that it's the Tanya that's keys to the Kisvei. The Tanya Mamash opens up the Kisvei Ari.
For us.
For or whoever, it's Maftechos.
For Bahamas, for Bria.
No. No, not at all.
Us to understand Kisvei Ari.
No, because the Kisvei, the way that, the, remember, the Moshul is perfect to the Nimshul. This whole world is a perfect representation of all the higher Oilamas. Yeah?
How do you explain this way?
So, what?
How do you explain it in this way? Meaning.
Wait, you understand what I just said? This world is not, it's not like there's the Oilam. It's like, why is the clipper of an orange orange? The clipper is the most chetsonious manifestation of the orange. A watermelon is green, the inside's red, which is the opposite colour. But the clipper is not like you've got the pre and then the clipper. And they're not the clipper is the most chetsonious madrega of the ore, if you want to say it like that. You understand? You can't separate Kali and Oirus. They're not. It's not like there's Kalim and there's Oirus. They can't. The Klippa is a manifestation. So this world is an absolute accurate representation mitzad the Klippa of the higher Oilamas. So as you get a deeper understanding into this world, which is what this sefer gives you, then when the Arizal is talking about Kalim and Oirus, you know, with Petisha and Nitzotzes spritzing out and falling to levels below and being this lover into the Nivla, into the Chetzonius of the Kalim, and you hear all these inyanim, and you understand what Petisha means, because you've got some kind, you understand what it means, Zera and Or, and you've got the picture of the Nefesh Halakis and the Nefesh Abahamis with Chokhmah Bina Das and all the Avot, and how Yesod relates to Malchus of Chubhule, and you see it in your goof and how it goes, then learning the Kisvei Ari is a completely different experience. And the way I know this, what?
But still, for us, meaning the Ari didn't need it.
Of course not. The Ari wrote it. It came from Shemayim for the Ari. But the way I saw this is because I've been learning Tanya very deeply for the past 20 years. And over the past, say, I don't know, 4 or 5 years maybe, I've been learning Kisvei Ari with two different people who are both, they're like the opposite people you can imagine. But they're both mamash, I don't know why Hashem gave me such a schuz, but they're both mamash bakiyim in Kabbalah and amazing things. And from learning that Kabbalah with them and with my background in Tanya, I'm explaining inyanim to them that is giving them, they're like, oh wow, psh, yeah, I see that. Psh. Mm. It's opening up the Tanya, it's opening up the Kisvei Ari for them. It's wow. A trip. Wait, why did we say that? That was completely off topic.
Because in order to explain Likutei Moharan, we need Tanya. In order for Tanya, we need Kisvei Ari. But from our perspective, Tanya is like the main
Rizal is pushing you.
Israel is at a different level before the Bria.
Yeah, why would we say that?
Because the Atzilut has all the separations. Right, but where before?
You mean Bria has a separation? No, remember, I just there was a specific thing that made me jump into that. But the point is, and we'll finish now, Mamash, that the avoider of Yisrael is the secondary avoider of Yisrael is the human side of Yisrael. This is the blessed life. This is what I'm doing with the blessed life. Yeah, I took out all this time to teach you Pashata ideas about being human, yeah, because you can't do the Jewish bit without the human bit first. This is just the first Masul, the first part of a Masul that will go on for years and years, B'zvat Hashem. That's the point. So you have to realize that you're a human and what a human is, which is not an axe-wielding, you know, necrophiliac. That's not what a human being is, Rachmanus. So this accounts, going back to the whole thing, this accounts for the entire voida. Sinas chinam is being connected to the created part of who you are, being connected to the human aspect of you. And if you're not aware of what we've been speaking about, then avodas Hashem is breaking your connection to food, to steak, to beer, to money, to coffee, and kol zman, you're increasing this wall, and that's why marriages are getting harder and harder and harder. Because if this wall is very solid, yeah, that is an almost guaranteed, not 100% guaranteed, but an almost guaranteed problem for marriage. Almost guaranteed, yeah? It could be, there could be a interesting thing that two nefesh brothers could start, but 98% of the time, that if your wall is big, strong, then marriage is going to be mumish, very, very difficult. Okay, so how do we break this wall down?
You said,
like we said, take one tissue. Start with these avoiders. Oh, by the way, I forgot that. We'll finish on this. That all of the list of the recognize the other, yeah, that is a great. I mean, the real place to start is making keeping promises. But that list of recognize the other is a really good list of things to do to help you break this wall, to help you dismantle this wall. And none of them are taking on this wall. None of them are like, okay, I'm going to now break my ego. It's relating to other people. It's not taking over the guy's parking space. It's not, you know, peeing in the swimming pool. Yeah. But that I realized one thing that needs to be put on the list, I didn't put on for the new one, is not killing anything. Killing. Don't kill a bug. Don't kill a bug. And that, very few of the questions, that was the tikkun of Noach. That's why Noach came before Avraham. Because it's easier to have rachmanas on a behemah than it is on a ben adam. So when we fell to the lowest level before Noach, the tikkun now came. Noach's tikkun was taking care of animals. Now, because they don't have an ego, so it's not so threatening. But then that was the hachana for Avraham, who was machnis orchim. He started taking care of human beings. Shkoyach.